Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, 106.3, and the Game Nashville app. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you for the next 4 hours. Elijah Campbell behind the glass, manning things at the Hillside Medical Game Studio. We got a lot of things to get into today. In about 15 minutes, we'll talk to our buddy Penny, as he's got his big event on Saturday. And so we'll get the word out again about his celebrity basketball game. Of course, raising some good money for the program. So we'll get into that with Penny coming up here. By the way, Elliot Freeman today is going to be on today. He is moving from his normal spot tomorrow at 1 o'clock, which he's been with us for years, Thursdays at 1 o'clock, to today at 1 o'clock. So we'll talk with Elliot. Of course, he was a part of the award ceremony last night for the NHL. So we'll talk to Elliot at 1 o'clock. Ben Arthur at high noon. Greg Wyshynski at 11 o'clock. Game four tonight in Tampa. Lightning and Avalanche. Can the Lightning even this thing up at 2? So we'll get into all that with Greg Wyshynski. So, of course, in this market, everybody's disappointed. We knew it was going to be a razor's edge, and it lived up to being a razor's edge. And unfortunately, coming out on the other side by a nose, by a hair, it was Cale Makar. Photo finish, Cale Makar. So it's too bad. Both had spectacular seasons. It's a little disappointing, but we'll get into a lot of this stuff with Greg Wyshynski coming up next hour. But unfortunately, Cale Makar wins the Norris.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's really disappointed here. I think for those that go back a ways too, it's extra disappointing because there's been a lot of close calls and the Predators have come up short in almost all of them. You know, the last few years, there have been some breakthroughs with Roman actually winning it a couple years ago. Pekka Rinne won a Vezina. But to me, it was just really interesting that he had the most first-place votes by a decent margin. He had 6 more first-place votes than Cale Makar and still came up short in the points. So if you watched Twitter last night at all, if you scrolled, you know all of the talking points by now. You know, we're not going to throw out anything new, is that he was left off one of the ballots, which makes no sense at all, and that he had a lot of third and fourth. He had 3 fourth-place votes, which is kind of hard to stomach if you're watching from our perspective. At the end of the day, Darren, Cale Makar is an unbelievably good defenseman. I can't be shocked. I can't be bitter that he won it. He's a worthy winner. But I am really puzzled that somebody would vote, that as many people voted Roman third with the special season that he had. Now, can you make the case that Victor Hedman is the best defenseman of the era? He's kind of like the Mike Trout, where you could literally vote him every year? Yes, and maybe that's a factor there. But it puzzles me that Hedman didn't appear to get any votes over Makar. Makar got all the second-place votes that Roman didn't. And Hedman got enough second-place votes over Roman to make the difference, which was a really small difference. So I've analyzed it backwards and forwards. I'm sure you have as well. There's nothing you can do about it now. It's just disappointing. 96 points.
Yeah, I mean, The three fourth-place votes are really disappointing. Wasn't there one person that left him completely off?
Yes, there was one. Yeah.
Now, this stuff will come out. But I guess this is how I feel about it. And, you know, when you're on one of these, when you are chosen or you're asked and you agree to do something like this, and I know you vote.
Yep, the announcers vote for the Jack Adams Award, which is really hard. You talk about you don't have any numbers. You know, it's basically how did the team do? It's very, very yep. subjective. There's not analytics. There's not all of these things. I mean, there's a process we go through, but it's different, I think, for this. And this is what would be great about talking with Greg and Elliot, because it's not easy. It's certainly not easy. But I think some people overthought it a little bit. If I had to pick one factor that sort of overrode it, I thought it was very clearly a two-horse race. It's one or the other. The other one is second. I don't. You're kind of getting cutesy if you're throwing Charlie McAvoy in there. Charlie McAvoy is a great defenseman. He didn't have a better season than Roman Yossi. Come on.
It's that's not even the fact that he got one first place vote is. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I can see Hedman. I don't see McAvoy. I can't see how McAvoy is above Roman Yossi on any ballot.
Didn't Buchagras, was any one of them that had Yossi as a fourth place?
Yep, he had McAvoy third.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you just, I'm sorry, you're just not doing your homework. You're just not.
And he's Charlie McAvoy is a great player.
Well, obviously, if you're on this list, you're a great player.
Yeah.
But it's not about if you're a great player
or not.
Who had the best season. And Charlie McAvoy, look, nobody, as good as Victor Hedman is, nobody this season belonged ahead of Makar and Yossi. Nobody. Like, to me, all of the voting should have been first and second place. Like, there's no way either one of those two should have received third or fourth place votes.
Hedman, I can see. I cannot see McAvoy.
Not this
season. McAvoy, 10 goals and 46 assists, and everybody's saying, yeah, he's a great defender. Yes, he's a great defender. Roman Yossi is a great defender. You can't sit there and say Roman Yossi is not a great defensive player. He's a great defensive player.
Shesterkin wins the Vezina. I guess UC Soros finished third in that. Sider wins the Calder. Were you surprised by that?
No, I was not surprised
really?
That he won it. No, I had resigned myself to that down the stretch. A lot of people just gravitated towards him. I kind of didn't understand it. Here's what I thought the deal was with Sider. For about half a season, the Red Wings were a nice story, and Sider was a big part of it. And I think he gained a lot of traction right there. And then the Red Wings started getting crushed down the stretch. They collapsed. They got smoked. But yet, Sider still retained his street cred. And I think people believe he's going to be a great player. And I think that factors into the Rookie of the Year. So by the end of the year, who did you really have? You had, because Tanner Janot fell off.
I thought Zegras would win. I did, just because of how much attention he got.
Yes,
throughout the course of the season.
But what happened to his team? His team collapsed as well. So it sort of became a case of the sexy names, Zegras and Sider. Both of those teams fell off they fell off a cliff at the end of the season. Tanner Janot, to be honest, kind of fell off a cliff in the last few weeks. I think if he'd had a strong finish, I really think he would have been in the top three for sure and might have had a chance at it. But we know what happened. It's like woulda, coulda, shoulda, right? You can't – what happened, happened. So I can't be too disappointed. The interesting one, too, was Bunting playing in Toronto, an older rookie. I wondered if he would get close. But all things considered, I wasn't surprised that Sider won it because at the end of the day, it was kind of like, all right, who do you vote for? There wasn't a guy that had a ton of momentum at the end of the season.
No, but I just thought Trevor Zegras, and you know I was pretty consistent all year that he was probably going to win it just because he had a little bit more highlight reel plays that would get a lot of attention, and so that would stick with the voters. But instead, they went Sider, and he actually won.
He won pretty
convincingly.
Decisively. Yeah,
it really wasn't close.
Nope.
So that part definitely surprised me. So we asked what is going to happen with the Florida Panthers. What are they doing? What are they waiting on? And they decided on June 22nd. Okay, I guess we're not going to retain Burnett.
When it didn't happen within a week, I really started wondering. Because the longer it went, the longer you were like, man, this really could happen. So you've got a guy in Andrew Burnett, an original Predator, scored the first goal in team history, is a Jack Adams finalist. Didn't win it, but he was a finalist, and he does not have the job back the next year. Now that is rare.
Well, Gerard Gallant. That's two guys they've shown the door. That were up for that award, right? So,
but the same season.
I know. Well,
Gallant
was the next.
Well,
it was pretty early in the next year.
Go back and look, but it was in the middle of the season. It wasn't.
It wasn't even between in the middle. Wasn't it pretty early?
Fairly early. Probably in the first half of the season.
He was left at the taxi stand.
Yikes! That was
with his luggage.
But I'll tell you, there's going to be a lot of people lined up to want to coach that team, and I do wonder if Barry Trotz is in that. Mix if
it
you want to
like
go
it's
there.
Paul Maurice.
Paul Maurice.
Seems to be the.
That's the momentum?
Yeah.
Going from Winnipeg to South Florida. Now, well, there's a climate change.
A climate change, a scenery change, and a roster change. All for the better.
Well, depending on what floats your boat.
Well,
yeah.
Unless you want. I mean,
well, 40, if you like fans at
if you
your
like
game,
40 below zero.
If you like full houses
for
every night and you like being the main thing in town,
true,
then Winnipeg's your spot.
Then that is. That's literally the only
check. I mean, if you like being out of the limelight, it's going to be completely different. Now, they are drawing better. My gosh, if they can't draw with this team, when are they ever going to draw? But you are out of the spotlight down there. Paul Maurice did a really good job for a long, long time handling the media in Canada, Winnipeg, etc., just under the microscope. It's like Ohio State or University of Tennessee, right? It's the only thing in town. It dominates every single thing that goes on there. So you're talking to the media constantly. He's really got a gift with that. So that's an interesting choice. But I feel bad for Andrew Burnett. That is cutthroat.
Yeah, but
such is the business.
He probably knew if they weren't able. You win the President's Trophy and you don't get out of the first round, he probably knew he was in big trouble.
Now, really, this is what's disappointing, though. If they were going to do this, couldn't they have at least told him and said, look, if you want to go try to get another one of these jobs that's open, go for it, because we don't think we're going to bring you back. Wouldn't that have been fair? Now all these jobs, I don't know if he would have gotten any of them. But good grief. That's tough.
I don't know.
Where does he go now? I guess somebody will probably pick him up as an assistant, you would think.
Winnipeg?
Winnipeg's still open. And if it is Paul Maurice, then still you wonder. Barry Trotz, where is he going?
I think now, to me, it just doesn't feel like he's going to coach. It doesn't feel that way. Like right
we both
now,
still are under the impression that if it was going to be Winnipeg, it would already be Winnipeg.
Yeah, I definitely don't think it's going to be Winnipeg. Yeah.
So that leaves Detroit, and that's it?
I've already told you, one, it's in the Predators' division, so that's a no. And two, is Winnipeg set up to win right now? Why would Barry Trotz take a team that's not in a position to win right now? Are they? I don't think so. I don't think they're ready to win right now.
I think they feel like they can, if they retool, they can get back. They can be back to very good and a playoff team. I think that's their goal. I don't think they want to break it all the way down.
We'll come back. Our buddy Brian Penny Collins in the On Deck Circle. Tell everybody about his event going on Saturday. The Gentry Center will do that next here on the DDC. 102.5 The Game, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. They will be on Saturday at the Gentry Center. We'll get to that in just a moment. By the way, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every single day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Got tickets to give away. See Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, Joan Jett, Nissan Stadium, June 30th. Sometime before we get out of here today. So a pair of tickets for that. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you on the DDC on this Wednesday morning. Another hot day here in Middle Tennessee. It'll probably be hot at the Gentry Center on Saturday afternoon. We bring in our buddy Brian, a.k.a. Penny Collins. He is the head basketball coach of the TSU Tigers. He now joins us. Penny, what's up?
What's up? How you doing, brother?
Does the AC work in the Gentry Center, or are you going to keep it hot on Saturday?
Man, that AC throws snowballs in the Gentry Center. It's going to be good and chilly in there.
Throws snowballs.
Good marketing.
But we want the atmosphere to be hot and on fire for the game on Saturday.
So yeah. How are things going as we inch a little bit closer, as we said here on this Wednesday? And, of course, this is going to be what? Everything starts at 1 o'clock, is that right, on Saturday?
Yes, sir, 1 o'clock. Doors open at 12. The game starts at 1.
General admission, $10. Courtside, $100. And tell everybody who are the star power that you've got coming to TSU's campus.
Yeah, and as far as those courtside seats go, man, when I checked this morning, we only have 4 courtside seats left online. So anybody interested in getting courtside seats, you got to get them today. It's only 4 left for those $100 seats. For the star power, man, we're going to be actually releasing the rosters today. They're going to drop literally within an hour. But I'm going to go ahead and let you guys know who's who. On the home team, we got Team 615. Celebrity coach is Megan Triplett. She works for the Memphis Grizzlies and Grind City Media. She's a TSU graduate. And the star players on that team are Jordan Bone from University of Tennessee, Alex Portress from University of Kentucky, Judge Rachel Bell, Pat Miller from Tennessee State, Josh Malone from the Tennessee Titans, Dominique Rogers Camrati from former NFL player, played with the New York Giants, played with Peyton, Eli Manning. Latavius Simmons, a recent draft pick from the TSU, plays for Chicago Bears. And the legendary Dante Jones, Mr. 615.
Wow, nice.
What round was he drafted in? So Penny, I'm wondering about the GMs. Who drafted these teams? Was that you, or did you pick captains and have them pick?
We had a committee to put these teams together. And as you can tell, this team has a little bit more Nashville flavor to it. That's
yes.
why their team is 615. But you still got some out-of-town flavor to it as well. I didn't mention every player on the team, but I just wanted to kind of give you some of the star power on that roster.
Excellent.
So you didn't mention Juwan Jennings. You didn't mention Keyshawn Vaughn or Ian Clark, none of those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let me go into the second team, Team Music City, which is going to be coached by 2 more TSU graduates, Josh Cooperwood, and Double A, who's Double A is a hip-hop artist from Nashville, graduated from TSU. So really excited about those 2 celebrity guests. And they're highlighted by Anthony Penny Hardaway. He's their star player, head coach of the University of Memphis. Don Evans, former WNBA player. Now she's an actress out in Los Angeles. A.J. Merriweather, former ETSU player and played for the Harlem Globetrotters. Juwan Jennings, which I'm really excited about, the Juwan Jennings and Dominique Rogers Cromartie matchup. We got to keep an eye on that matchup.
Oh, right, do you think there'll be some talking?
Yeah, a little talking. Juwan Jennings played for the San Francisco 49ers. We got Whitney Baywa. She's a social influence from Los Angeles, California, basketball player. She's unbelievable for Hooper. Ian Clark from the Belmont Golden State Warriors. Star Lido, professional athlete to meet, but really he's a professional rapper, but he's an unbelievable basketball player as a rapper. James Shaw, I'm going to make you familiar with that name. He was the Waffle House hero.
Shit. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
James Shaw, yeah.
Yeah, James Shaw playing the celebrity game. Jacob Phillips, Nashville Ties, graduated from East High School, plays for the Cleveland Browns. Shaq Mason, plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 2-time Super Bowl champion, all-pro Shaq Mason from Columbia, Tennessee. And then last but not least is one of my favorites, former Titan, Mako Pruitt. Who's now a free agent, but played for the Tennessee Titans, and he's just an unbelievable person. Glad he's a part of our event.
I think we may have had a turnover. I'm not sure. We're trying to figure out if Willie, when you said James Shaw, if he just had a boo-boo or what exactly happened.
Because they're reviewing the tape
I
right
looked
now.
At Elijah.
I misspoke.
Elijah looked at me. It was kind of weird. It sounded like you almost pulled a Don Kaharski. Except for you didn't say holy, you said...
No, I was saying, sure, you said, I know Shaw, But the words kind of got in
it got weird.
Kind of a tweener.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was definitely a bobble. It was a grounder to short, and there was a bobble on the play. There's no question.
Hopefully, we will not give out the number anytime soon for the FCC because we don't want them to call in. But we're not sure. We're reviewing the tape. And I think Willie was so taken back that it was James Shaw.
Well, that was a moving story.
Yes.
We know. I mean, that
and
was.
And he just blurted out, "Oh, Shaw," I think. I don't know.
He may have said something else.
I can't confirm.
I know Shaw.
He definitely dropped the bomb.
Yes. He did?
He did.
No, it's not. Well, you can say, yeah. Oh. Unintentional.
Woo!
Viral. He went viral.
Wow. That's
a rightful dump.
You just knocked him right off his shoes, right out of his shoes with that one.
I want to hear the tape.
That's what superheroes do that. He's a real life superhero. And I thought it was one of the most touching moments I remember is when Chadwick Boseman, may he rest in peace, he gave James Shaw, the movie Black Panther just came out. And Chadwick Boseman gave James Shaw a hero award, one of these awards. I'm not sure, one of these award shows. I can't remember now, but I remember they did the Black Panther stance to each other, and from a TV superhero to a real life superhero, right here in Nashville to be a part of our game. Man, I really can't put into words how priceless that is. And he also played in the NBA All Star Celebrity Game a couple years ago too. So James Shaw is going to be a great addition to the game.
That is awesome.
That's cool.
So you've got the star power, you've got Shaw power.
Yep.
Tell everybody, general admission seats are $10. If people are listening to this, you said only 4 courtside tickets left at $100. This is going to be an awesome event, but tell everybody what this helps. Why are you putting this on? Because this is not an easy thing to do.
It is not, and I will be glad when Saturday night comes.
I bet you will. You'll sleep like a baby.
But it's been a great experience. To bring awareness to our basketball program, all the funds are going to go straight to our program, to continue to – it's not like our team is over there struggling financially, but it's to enhance our program from all assets, just make sure that we're in the position to compete for an OVC championship, man. All the funds going to our Tennessee State basketball program, men's and women's team.
Mm. You can talk about – I know you can talk about them freely because they're not – in college anymore. So I know you. So I just want to know through your basketball eyes, and I know you're engulfed in your team, your roster, and the teams that you're playing, but the NBA draft is tomorrow night. Is there any player that jumps up? Because there's, you look at the draft boards, it looks like maybe, guy from the SEC could go number one, Jabari Smith in Auburn, but you've got some SEC guys in there. You've got the kid from Duke that maybe is going to be top three for sure. But who stands out to you? Who gets your attention?
Man, I want to answer that two ways. Stephen Curry, what he's done in his career has been amazing. And to go back and look at the fact that he was drafted 7th is amazing. You got people like Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio, and no offense to their careers, but like I think there's going to be somebody in this draft like this. And I'm going to go the completely opposite direction, and I hope that I'm right on this. I'm hoping that Scottie Pippen is drafted tomorrow and shocks everybody. I think that kid is a special, special player. And to win SEC Player of the Year and not be on anybody's top 10 or top 15 list, I think he's going to be a steal for somebody's NBA team. And I'm not saying he's going to be Stephen Curry, but I believe he's going to be one of those guys that gets drafted and you look up and he becomes like a Fred VanVleet type of guy. He leads his team to an NBA championship or, top 2 team in an NBA because he's going to get drafted low and he's going to go to a good team. And he's going to affect winning on that team. So I'm going to go dark horse of the draft, Scottie Pippen Jr.
Hmm. Interesting. He is a unique player, no question. Penny, I want to ask you, too, about just the state of the game right now. You have such a unique background in that you played at Belmont. And I watched you freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. I watched all the guys you came in with. You played with older players that you had, younger players that you mentored. The continuity was one of the things that made you guys consistent winners, for sure. Yep. And it's so hard to get that now. We're seeing so much turnover in rosters. How tough is it for you coaching in that world right now?
It is different. It's a different world, man. It's like, just like as the generations change and the decades change and trends change, the way we coach and the way we nurture our kids has got to change. The ability to keep sustain rosters and keep that chemistry, those days are gone. You know, kids are having success and they'll leave. Kids that don't have success will leave. So you really don't know. It's not. Teams can win 30 games and go to a championship, and the guy will leave. Your best player will leave on this level. So it's a different world for sure. All we can do as coaches on this level is continue to cultivate relationships, love on our kids, show them that you know what they can do if they stay patient. Because we're in a world of where patience is just—it's lost right now in college athletics, not just basketball and all the athletics. There's over 1,000 guys still in the portal right now. 800 of them will not find a place to go next year.
Really, 800 out of 1,000 will not come out of the portal with a new gig, basically.
Correct.
So what happens to them? I mean, you're saying they won't even be in college, or they'll be in college not on a team?
Yeah, they'll go to college. You know, they'll go to school somewhere, and they'll be paying their own way. And I would say about 50% of those guys thought the grass would be greener, and they'll be stuck in what I call transfer portal purgatory.
Mm.
So it's just a different world, man. And you know, I looked at a guy like Adam Mark and Adam Son, the guys that I grew up watching play, and I saw them grow from 4 points a game, 8 points a game, 12, and then 18 your senior year. You know, we're trying to build that type of culture up and let these kids know, be patient, your time will come. But it's not just the kids now, it's the parents, it's the AAU coaches, it's the high school coaches, it's the uncles. You have to get everybody on the same page. You essentially have to build a fence around your athletes. In recruiting, that was always the case, but now you have to do it even with the players that you have on your team.
Mm. That is the world we're in today, isn't it? There's no doubt about that. So can people still come up Saturday morning or Saturday before the event and buy tickets? But if they want to get them in advance after listening to this, and you need to be a part of this, how do they do that?
Yeah, so the game, obviously, is at 1 o'clock, and we have a 10,000-seat arena, so I don't think that it's going to be hard to get in. But you don't want to be standing in this long line on Saturday afternoon in the hot sun trying to get your ticket. Get your tickets online. The link is on our website. The link is in my bio on Instagram. Get your online tickets so you can just slide on through wheel call. But definitely tickets will be available at the day of the game.
Penny, good stuff. Best of luck. I know it's going to be a fantastic event because I've been around your events in the past, and I know it's always first class. It's going to be a huge hit, and we'll talk soon.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, fellas. Good to hear from you, Willie.
That is Brian.
You got it, Penny.
Penny Collins.
That's going to be fun. He works his tail off on those things. He's done those before. He knows how to put one of those events on. So it looks like he's divvied up the teams pretty good, too.
Yep.
That's going to be a good pick'em game right there.
He asked me to be one of the coaches, but we're in the World Series. I don't know when we play on Saturday, so I can't commit. Because I've done it before, and it's so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's so much fun. And by the way, this lineup, wow. Great lineup. So Saturday at the Gentry Center beginning at 1 o'clock. More DDC next. And then we went to the booth.
You guys are biased.
Booth review, the replay. We went to Toronto. Is that where our replay room is? Where's our room at?
It is, Toronto's one way to put it. Our booth, Secaucus, yeah. Toronto Secaucus.
And I listened and you tried to come back with no goal.
It doesn't sound good. It really doesn't.
It doesn't. Like, so just
but
think about
I was
what
trying
you're saying.
To say,
it doesn't sound
sure.
good, but I didn't say it.
I was trying to say, oh, sure, and I had Shaw in my mind, and it was on the way to a bad place, and I cut it off at the last minute. I feel like I was 98% there, and I cut it off. It wasn't a full follow-through.
You've been contesting
to be violated.
That the T wasn't enunciated. When you go back and listen, there is an audible.
Because there was a cutoff. That was the cutoff that made it sound like there was a T in there.
Gator Tim on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Vili Gaharski. So there you go.
Gaharski? Oh, boy.
If you were listening on the stream, which the delay does not exist, and
you could have heard it.
Yeah.
You could have heard something.
You would have.
You could have made be
so
your own judge. Be your own
in.
Judge.
Yeah.
Neil on our text line is saying Willie, poop mouth, poop mouth, Willie, poop mouth. He said this was the clearest poop mouth I've ever heard.
Ever heard. He must not have been watching Koharski.
John the mailman, Willie. Oh no.
It seems to be the only person who thinks this is close or inconclusive is the perpetrator himself.
That's right. I'm my own defense attorney.
Just remember Neil's words. The clearest Shaw he's ever heard. The clearest Shaw he's ever heard.
Sure.
Willie, you can't call Bull Shaw on this one.
Okay, let's move on.
Oh, why? Why do you want to move on?
I've made my case.
And it's no goal. Why do you want to move
the
on?
The tape is out there. I listened to the tape. I thought it was inconclusive.
Yeah, I love the way it sounds, but, you know, it's just not really. I mean, it sounds bad, but it's not really bad.
It did sound bad.
What does that mean? It sounds bad, but it's not bad.
Because there was not a follow-through. It wasn't a full 100%. It was about 90. It was in the 90s.
I beg you.
98.
People are just beside themselves. That it would be you. Of all the people on the show, it would be you.
They're not mad. They're just disappointed.
Barrett down the borough says, I can absolutely confirm the foul. I was so shocked, I spit coffee all over the workshop.
Disrupting the workplace.
Let's see. Unnamed texter. I can't believe my ears, Willie.
I think if you slow it down, that was the other thing you don't have the ability to do is really slow it down frame by frame. I think if you'll find that it fell short of a violation.
Keith, unless I'm wrong, Shaw does not end with a T.
Nor does the word sure.
Nor does sure.
So I'm not really sure.
Actually, that's what he says. Neither sure nor Shaw end with a T.
Yes. That was kind of bizarre.
Sean says, I laughed the second it slipped.
Yeah, it was a slip.
Oh, wait a minute.
That's a confession.
Wait a minute. That was a confession.
No, it was a slip.
That was a confession.
No, it was a slip.
A slip of what? A slip of Shaw? A slip of sure?
Yeah. Well, I explained. That's why I got there, and then I had to cut it off before it really went to a bad place. I got about 98% of the way there, and unfortunately, there was kind of a T sound that sounded that way, but it stopped short. It was if you really slow it down.
Oh no, we
in
did.
Real time.
We did actually.
No, you didn't slow it down. It was in real time. That's why you have replay. You slow things down.
By the way, we didn't need to slow it down. We all listened.
It was in the gray.
We got a good goal.
It was a gray area.
Kyle says, "Why can't I get this content during Preds games?" Well, because that would be a bad idea.
I hope that doesn't happen.
Have you been close? Have you ever had a close call?
Oh, yeah.
On television?
Yeah, not with that word, but...
Another word?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It happens to everybody. It happens to everybody.
Like a worse word or lesser word?
Oh, it can be any number of words.
Well, you can... I mean, there's certain words we can say that...
Well... Okay, you know, let me just give you a word.
There's certain no.
Let me give you a word
knows.
That happens all the time in the hockey broadcast. The word shift. Right? It was a great shift by so and so.
Okay. Yeah.
So you probably every night every announcer comes close.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're saying something else and you're not. You're saying shift. But when you're talking fast and you're trying to move comes out wrong sometimes.
We had some controversy in one of the pregame interviews this season with Nick Cousins
saying
he meant to say shift disturber.
We did.
Yeah.
And it was
very close.
It was very close.
That was Philip Forsberg game one, 2017.
That's the one that gets Jeff Van Gundy.
We really examined that tape hard.
That's the one that where Jeff Van Gundy is going to complain about how long these reviews are going to take. And he goes on off one of his monologues about that. This one, not so much.
No.
But Nick Cousins, we had to slow it down.
Dave on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says, oh, my laundry. You need to wash Willie's potty mouth out.
That was in the gray, man. That was in the gray. I'm with Nick Cousins.
Willie, we're going to need to see you down the hall, please.
John says the FCC will put Willie on the list on Friday.
Oh, boy. I hope that doesn't happen.
Well, I mean, you're innocent, so I don't know what you're worried about. You claim you're innocent.
I did. I listened.
I love the way it's in the gray. It sounds bad, but it's fine.
I wish people could have seen Willie's face when he put the headset on and was listening and then heard it. The way you grimaced.
I grimaced
before
I heard it. I was bracing myself for the worst, and then when I heard it, it was what I thought. It was in the gray area.
You could be in a Michael Jackson video right now.
It doesn't sound well. It doesn't sound good at all. But if you really listen to it, it was in the gray area.
Steven from Manioc, ask Willie if the glove fits.
So wait, you actually think there's gray area?
Yes, absolutely.
There is no gray area.
Is there 50 shades of gray?
It's in the gray area.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
The suit has rolled.
Listen, I heard it. Like, I got a text from somebody, okay, who just got dumped, and then I heard it on the stream, which doesn't dump.
Right.
It was clear as day.
It wasn't clear. Well, it sounds bad, but it wasn't. I didn't follow through and say the whole word. I certainly wasn't trying to say that.
No, I know you didn't mean to, but you still said it.
If you did follow through, we wouldn't be having this discussion. What do you mean you didn't follow through?
Listen to the tape again.
Look, the ump at third is saying you swung. It's a swing.
I have to accept the call.
We've checked with the home plate ump. Yeah. We've checked with the third base ump.
We've checked with the replay review. I understand. The call has not gone my way.
Nothing
it doesn't
has changed.
Mean I have to like the call.
No one has
agreed with the call.
The
I don't agree with the call.
Greg A. on our text line says, Villy has a new career at TNT as the NHL rules analyst. Holy shaw.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my
gosh. I'm getting texts from people that are saying their daughter is in the car and you owe them an apology.
We're gonna schedule Penny for every hour today. This will get us through today. No, we wouldn't do that to Willie. All right, we will come back.
It's in the gray.
Oh, yeah. Sure and Shaw. That's the best one. Do not end with T. We'll come back, wrap up the first hour next.
Let's go over the...
Greg Wyshynski coming up at 11 o'clock. That's to begin the second hour. I'm not going to read any more text because we could probably spend the next 3 hours me reading text and laughing, and it's just Willie's going to like leave. He's just going to go home.
At this point, I'm just trying to save face.
And say I've got to go tend to my laundry or something at home. I got to go. So I'm not going to do it.
Plenty of that at our house radio at all attorney. Times.
Right now, Willie's getting text from his radio attorney saying, Willie, just plead the fifth. Just
stop talking. Just stop talking.
Joe Rex wrote, texted me and said, why did Willie just swear at me while I was driving home?
Oh, man.
So some news coming out. Let's talk about, and we're going to get into a bunch of stuff with Greg Wyshynski coming up at 11 o'clock. So it looks like, Michael Russo, who of course covers the Wild, but he's been covering the playoffs.
Yeah, he's had some really good stuff since the Wild season ended.
Yep.
On the league. He is really an excellent reporter.
He says, going back to our conversation in the first segment, the Panthers are in talks with Paul Maurice as their next head coach. So I would say if that's getting out there, he'll probably be their next head coach. And now that's really a guy we weren't bringing up or discussing, right, with a lot of the openings.
Yeah.
Paul Maurice is a good coach.
Oh, yeah, and he's been around for a long time. He was at Winnipeg for an extremely long time. In fact, when Winnipeg came back into the league, I think he was their second coach. Claude Noel, who was in the Predators organization for a while, he was with Milwaukee for a while, I think was their first coach, and then he took over for him. And that he was there for 9 years, 8-9 years. We'll have to take a look. And then had a long stretch as well at Carolina before that. In fact, Paul Maurice, I think, preceded and then succeeded Peter Laviolette. Isn't that the bizarre chain of it? This is all under the category of the recycling of good head coaches in the NHL, they always seem to resurface
well, again,
somewhere.
If they would stop being successful at their stops, then they'll stop getting hired. But
right.
you can say that why does hockey do this? Well, they do it because these guys keep winning. They wouldn't get hired or keep getting rehired if they weren't winning. So it's a credit to them and what they do. Now, why hockey chooses to go, except for this market, chooses to go like 3 and 4 years and then they move on to the next coach, I don't know. I don't know why that culture is in place. But it does seem to be the culture in hockey. But these guys keep getting rehired because they keep winning. And then after about the fourth year, the team, for whatever reason, the front office says, okay, it's time to move on to the next guy. Now, Kadri is out on the ice this morning. Game 4 is tonight down in Tampa. Lightning trying to even this series up. Kadri is out on the ice skating with the Avs. The other thing that we talked about heavily yesterday, and we can get into with Greg Wyshynski, who's coming up to begin the second hour, is I really thought there was a shot that Francois would get the start. You did not, and it looks like you're going to be right, because Kemper was in the starter's crease this morning at skate.
He's their starter. He's their number one goalie. I don't think you make a change after one bad game. Now, all bets are off if he doesn't do well tonight. I think you'd really have to think about it if it happens again. This is going to be one heck of a game. I do think Tampa is the more banged up team. I guess Tampa hasn't skated yet, right? We'll find out some things when they take the ice here fairly soon. I'm guessing, I don't know if they'll have a full skate or optional or whatever, but Kucherov got dinged up a little bit. He tweaked something.
He left game 3.
Yeah, and everybody feels like he's going to be okay. We know he's going to play. The question is he going to be bothered? And then there's Braden Point, who's playing through a pretty significant injury. So a lot of people think, and Elliot said this on his podcast, we'll get his perspective later, we'll get Greg Wyshynski's here in a few minutes, but I think it's one of those things where he's so respected that he may be injured so much, he's demanding to be in there, but the reality is it's at the point where it might be somebody else that does a better job. Like, there's a percentage, right? Is 90% of Braden Point better than 100% of just about any player? Probably. But if Braden Point's at 55% or 60%, do they have a better option there? I think they've been wrestling with that because he didn't play in the last game. So will he give it a go tonight? That's a big question.
Yeah.
Either way, he's not himself.
But this is what you get this time of year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everybody
but,
deals
but
with
it. There's playing through something, and then there's really
yeah.
maybe you shouldn't be out there kind of stuff. I mean, Braden Point was the leading goal scorer the last 2 years in the playoffs. Leading goal scorer. And they've been doing all of this without him.
Did James Neal, should he have been out there in their run to the Stanley Cup final?
Well, he had a broken thumb, right, or a broken hand.
I thought it was a hand.
Yeah.
He had a broken hand.
I think you're right. I think it was a broken hand.
At times barely gripped
yes.
the stick. So, but he played. He played through it.
So every injury is different. Point is an issue of mobility, right? It's a lower body. It's a leg. You could see it go on him
yeah.
in that series against Toronto. So those are the things you deal with. You can score a goal without really being able to rip the shot. Like, James Neal was definitely not able to shoot the way that James Neal could shoot. James Neal is a great shooter, right? That was a huge weapon. But he could still bang. He could still get to the net. He could help them win. When you can't move, I think that makes it really tough. If you can't get from point A to point B, you're also trying to defend the fastest team in hockey, the most dynamic team. So if you can't get from point A to point B, no pun intended, I'm talking about Braden Point, then you might be better off with a quicker player that doesn't have enough skill or doesn't have as much skill.
Tyler says, looking forward to the Greg Wyshynski interview coming up in the second hour.
Nice. He did vote Roman Josi third, so we'll get his
yep.
get his perspective on that.
Keith said tonight he's going to watch before the Game 4 starts that he's going to watch Shawshank Redemption tonight.
I might need a little redemption myself. Maybe I should watch that movie.
That would be the Shawshank Redemption if Willie's able to redeem himself here.
Shawshank Redemption. Like I said, we could do this the rest
of
the show.
I'm toast.
I said I wasn't going to do it.
I'm never going to live this down.
I said I wasn't going to do it, but I can't help it. They're cracking me
up. Did you guys erase that tape yet?
I'm trying to figure out a way to get it in slow motion.
Yeah, no, so we do need to slow it down. I think frame by frame, that's when I would be exonerated.
Gene in Spring Hill. Villy, you have to miss your next shift. All right, we will come back. Greg Wyshoski will join us from ESPN. We'll talk all things hockey with him to start the next hour. That's next.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No.